Just a little bit about the mouth promotion again. This is simply that if you don't catch any of the events, like the touchdown, the touch move, and things like that, then Windows 7 will automatically promote these touch events to mouse events. Yeah, but be aware, if you don't do anything about it, then of course then only single touch is supported, because it only listens to mouse events, so things like zooming or panning isn't supported. I already told this, but I think it's important. Like, if there is a mouse promotion, then you have the notion of the primary touch point, in the sense of the first finger that touches the surface is your primary touch point. So if you put a second finger and you lift up your first finger, your primary touch point, then this finger doesn't do anything, and you have to release all your fingers to have again a primary touch point. So that's simply a consequence. You can try that out in Windows 7 with any native application that it has that behavior. So what is happening is simply that it's really bubbling the events. It's like a kind of chain of responsibility. So if you touch the button, and it isn't handled by any of the events of the touch events, then it will be promoted to mouse events until it is handled, and there it will stop, and then it will trigger the click event. So simply, translation from touch events to mouse events.
Do we have to add this handle?
No, it's done for you automatically. But if you handle in one of the controls a touch event or something like that, then it's not, of course, bubbled anymore. Then it's your responsibility. Touch vision. Oh, yeah. That's another demo. This is a demo using the RawTouch API. Wait, I will put it a little bit bigger. What does that again? So here, this is simply a sample that will, through an adorner, so that's an extension on WPF that you can do. Wait, I will maximize it a little bit. And here what you are doing is making some visual a visual trace when you put your finger. So having some auras around your finger so that you know that you have some feedback. So here, this is done in a generic way so that you can reuse it. So here also you will register to the events, the touch enter events, and then you will see further that you will also create an ellipse and things like that. So if I launch that application, FF. So here, as an example, it's simply a list box. But if I put my finger, you see here that I have now some feedback of my touch event, and also inside a control or a list box. See, you could reuse that adorner object to have some visual feedback.
Adorner, that's part of WPF?
Yeah, it's not something touch specific. It's a generic way to add some functionality to UI elements. But I will provide these samples on my blog, or I'm even maybe put it on Codeplex. Because these are also samples that I grabbed together from PDC, from others, and trying to get some to see the tree in the forest. Okay. That was simply to show you that even the road touch events can be handy to implement, for example, this functionality. Then there is another one, gestures. You can implement gestures with the road touch API. Yeah. This is also a demo. Now, I have to admit that it's a lot of code that you would think this should be out of the box. But there are libraries on CodePlex that has all that functionality for you. I mean, most of them, there are some pros and contras. But this is an example of how you would implement that, a gesture through the Road Touch API. So for example, I will first show the application itself. But you really see that if you have to do it all manually or do something custom that is not standard in the box, you will see that you have a lot of logic and mathematics needed. For example, here, single tap. This is simply that you click, single. Long tap, that you really have to click, to press the button, hold your finger for a long time. And then double tap is that. So this seems easy, because the gesture is easy, but behind the scenes, it's a lot of, it's really working with timer events to know what is the ratio about your double click and things like that. So this here is, for example, I will take the tap gesture engine. So you see here already, that's a simple clause, so that's simply to encapsulate a little bit I will make it bigger. The logic. But you see here, for example, you have here a timer. You have a translation delta. So a lot of properties. And here you are going in the constructor, going to pass some elements like the maximum milliseconds, minimum milliseconds. Then you are going to start your timer. And dependent on that, you will start your gesture or not. Yeah. So you see it's already some code, just to have some, to know that the double click is meant to be one action instead of two separated clicks, for example. Because this is one for one tap, but then you have the double tap engine. And this will in turn have two instances of the tap gesture engine. This is simply to show you, it's not that you need to know what is all behind, in the sense of that there are now libraries that you can simply download from CodePlex, where you can simply say, I want a double tap and a tap and things like that. But if you want to do some custom behavior, or you want to maybe do a lasso gesture or something like that, then maybe some things, these things you have to do or to implement. Yeah. Just simply to show you how it is done. Or is it code that you want to write? It's really specific touch, multi-touch code. So this is really an abstraction, just a gesture library. And then you have the application itself that really uses simply the gesture library. And this is done through triggers. Yeah, so that's also something in VPF that's coming from the system windows.interactivity. So that is something from Blend. So that is also a good way to extend your UI elements. Yeah. So in here, for example, on the border, to catch a tap gesture, you simply do it by that. Yeah. And this is because the gesture library implements the trigger base element. And you will see here trigger base that is something from system Windows interactivity. Yeah. Okay. So this was the RawTouch API. So the next thing is the manipulation API. Yeah. So what is it? So like we have already said, it's a higher level of abstraction. So we don't have a series of XI coordinates, but it aggregates all your points so that you have a translation, rotation, and a scale. Yeah. So that you have some numbers so that these matrix transformations and things like that are already done for you. Yeah. And it also includes inertia. So you will see that it has a lot of events. It has events to catch the manipulation delta and also the inertia. Yeah. So you really have to think about that the RawTouch information is simply transformed to these three coordinates. So if you do some manipulation, is it a gesture or something else, then it is translated to what has happened. Is it, it has been a little bit translated, has it been a little bit rotated and scaled. But these numbers, you have it now directly so that you can do something without it. Something with it. Yeah. What is important also, you have 4 degrees of freedom. Yeah. You have an horizontal and vertical, rotation and scale. And you think, for what is important? Well, for this, for example, here you have maybe a horizontal translation and that you want to implement, but that can be transformed into different kind of degrees of freedom. In a sense, a translation can mean that it is simply a movement of an object, yeah? Or a translation can mean that it will be changed the width value of a rectangle, for example, or it can rotate your object. So it's up to you as a developer or for the UI what will happen when you do a horizontal translation. This can mean different things, and this is called the degrees of freedom. And so you have 4 of them, but you have 3 kinds of transformations. Yeah. Because this one is divided in horizontal and vertical, and this is translated in 1, and that's the translation. So what does it encounter, the manipulation API? It has, like the RawTouch events, you have manipulation events. And it's also available on every UI element. Note that it is not available on UI element 3D and content element, like the RawTouch API. But that you can manage by simply having a child control, and that your parent control is a UI element, and that your child control is an UI 3D element or a content element. But that's not so a big issue. So, like we had the touchdown, the touch enter, and things like that, we have here manipulation starting, started, delta, inertia starting, completed, and boundary feedback. Most of the time you will register to the manipulation starting event and the manipulation delta event. Just when you do like this, for example, yeah, what is happening, the manipulation starting will occur, and then the translation, so if I do that, for example, this means that it has been a translation with a rotation and a scale, so this information will be in your delta event. Yeah, and this will always be repeated. Yeah. So this is what is happening. So there are really 2 phases in a manipulation API. There is a first phase where you have the manipulation itself. This is when the first finger is down or touched on your surface. And when all the fingers are left, are from the screen, then the inertia phase is coming. Yeah? And you will see here that this event is triggered. You know that it is an inertia event. But then again, the same event as this one is simply reused. Yeah? Here are already some calculations done, but in practice, you will always register simply on the starting. So there is no, for implementing your gestures or manipulations, it's recommended to do it in the starting, and in the samples I don't see that they are doing special in the started. So what I've seen in the documentation is simply that there are maybe some initializations already done, but mainly in the starting event you will simply initialize, like for example, do I want to have a pivot, or is it a gesture that will be done by one finger or two fingers and things like that. So it's more like an init. Yeah. So here is the same event, but the manipulation delta has a property in the event tags where you can denote is inertia, to know whether you are in the inertia phase or in the manipulation phase. We will come to a sample. Then we have, so to enable manipulation, what you need to do is, on every control you have a boolean, is manipulation enabled? So if you put it on true, then you can register to the events. Yeah? And like you see here, it's also like with a bubbling event. So in the sense of, if I touch in here on the text block, here, is manipulation event equals true is not set. So it will bubble further until something catches. And here it will, here the handling will be true. Yeah? Otherwise it will be bubbled further. So it's not necessary to register on each control the event. It's bubbled for you. These are called routed events in WPF. I know it's a lot of properties. That is what you get in the event tags. So like I said, you have here the is inertial boolean to know in which phase you are, in the manipulation phase or in the inertia phase. And most of the time what you only need is the delta manipulation property. Yeah, and this contains really the scale, the transform, and the rotate, these coordinates. And you will see that these values, we can directly use them in the render transform of your controls, and this will enable you to resize your pictures, to scale down, and things like that. So that's something you won't use with the RawTouch API, but there is where the manipulation API is convenient to do that. Yeah. And a demo. So I suggest as also a simple demo to make it maybe together. Okay, I found it. So again, we are making a new WPF application, but now it's with the WPF manipulation API. Okay. Don't forget to put it as a starter project. Wait, I will first show what we are going to implement, so that you have an idea. So what we simply have here is a rectangle with a number, and if we simply move here over the rectangle, it will show the value in the text box. Yeah, but we will see that you also will be enabled. Now it's not behaving correctly, but for rotating and things like that. Yeah, so that you have an idea how this manipulation API looks like and how you can access it. So, we will make a grid. We will call it layout route. I will make my screen a bit bigger. Okay. Then we have a stack panel, horizontal alignment center. Then we have a text block. Name is txt number, for example. Text is 100. And font size is 48. And beneath the text block we have a border. So we give that guy also a little a name, border. Background green, width 600, height 200, is manipulation enabled. So don't forget, for this one we need to put the is manipulation enabled to true. And then of course we need to catch the event. Yeah? So we have here, so you will see here the events that are available. So we have here the completed, the delta, initial starting, started, starting. So here we are taking the manipulation delta. And we close the border. Here, in this sample, the background is also defined, so I'm going to do it. Now it's on the window, but okay.
I guess it's not needed because the border
is indeed, but now I'm maniac and now I'm filling everything with a color. So if you have the XAML, you're going to the code behind, of this one. And here we are simply saying, so we will first look at the event tags, and you will see that, like we have seen on the slides, we have some properties, but the most important one is this one, the delta manipulation. Yeah? And this delta manipulation gives as an object manipulation delta. And if you look at that, we have these properties like rotation, scale, and translation. Yeah? Note that the difference between expansion and scale is simply it gives the same Yeah. In a sense, scale is more like a factor. A scale, when it doesn't change, then it will have a number 1. Yeah. When expansion is really to set something, so it will have something like, so when there is no change, then it will have the value 0. So the one is more absolute, and the other one is a scalar factor. Yeah. So dependent on what you need to do, you will use the expansion or the scale. But the other ones are, of course, like rotation and translate. So here, for example, what we simply need to do is, for example, the number. First, simply, we need to make a property that denotes the number. We put it on 100, for example. Oops. So we are making simply a helper property. So if we set the number, we don't only set the number, but also simply the text number. So here what we are going to do, like we have seen in the sample, if we go to a translation, we simply update the text box. So here what we are saying is take the delta manipulation, so that's a manipulation delta class. We take the translation part of it, and there we have simply two properties, x and y, and there we get the x coordinate. So if we launch that application, then normally, see? So, and as a test, what you can try to do is, for example, change it to rotation. Yeah. So you will see here, rotation, and it's also FF. So now if you rotate, we'll try to maximize. You see, then you get the rotate value of that manipulation delta. If I do here with my two fingers a rotate, you see here, if I do now a translation, it doesn't do anything. Only if I do a rotate, then I get the value. So you see that the manipulation API does all these calculations for you. Otherwise, you have to calculate it yourself. But now you have all these values. Now we are doing it simply, That's also a translation, okay. So, and even you can also try it with scale. So then you have the zoom or, so here you have a scale. Dot x. for example. You have a scale here. Yeah, you cannot see it here, but I'm scaling. You see that it now changes. So, but normally, you will then take into account all these parameters, rotate, translation, and so on, to do something. But it's simply, this really a simple example to show you how you catch the event and what the properties mean. Okay, that's already something that we know, that if you want your objects need to be updated, and when you have your events and you want to update your objects, that you really need to use the render transform of your UI object. Yeah, don't do it on your parent object and setting it in absolute coordinates or like the canvas set left and things like that. No, better to update it to the render transform of your object and do there your transformation. It is even simpler because there you have a translate transform, a rotation transform, and a scale transform, which is equivalent with the manipulation delta that you get. Yeah, but we will see an example of that. So now coming again to your question also, is when are you using the starting event args? Is when the default values, these are the default values in the starting event args. And maybe in some cases you want to modify it, yeah, so that the gesture is specific. For example, the pivot, yeah, so that you maybe have one point that you want to be stuck, yeah, and that you can just pivot around your object. This is something that you can use in here. We will also see an example of that. So what you need to do for that, I think this can be the same. Now we'll have to make a new one. Or we will just overwrite this one. So we have a grid. I will first show what we will implement. Pivot manipulation. So here we have a rectangle. And here you will see that we are simply pivoting around this point here. Yeah, and to have that behavior, this is done by the pivot property. Then you have to create a pivot, let's call it again, a new pivot manipulation pivot object, where you give a center and a radius, and then you have that behavior. So maybe I will show it simply in the code. So in here, so this is really the same code as what you have seen in action. So you have here, don't look at that, but you have here your border, yeah, that we could transform. And you see again, it has every control has a render transform, like you see here. And this is really something that you will manipulate. Yeah? So here on your border, you have a manipulating starting event and a delta event. Wait, I will make it bigger. So again, is manipulation enabled is true. And you catch the two events, starting and delta. Yeah? Then in your code behind, what you are doing is here, you really calculate the center of your border that you want to rotate with. And this is, you see here, we are really setting the one of the properties of your event axis. So we are really customizing the behavior of, of the manipulation API, how it must behave or calculate. Oui, you don't see it very well, huh? You have to say that. control. Voilà. Dus in here, we have the manipulation starting event args. And here it has some properties. And here we are saying the pivot is a new manipulation pivot with death center and radius. And the mode is we are going to rotate. You will see that we have several modes, translation, rotation, and things like that. But here we will only rotate. And the only thing what you need to do in your manipulation delta, so that's really the same event as we had before. We also have that property delta manipulation. But there we are not going to take the translation or something. No, we are taking the rotation. And we simply pass rotate.angle. So we are really working. So rotate here, this object is this one. So we are going through the render transform. You see? So that's really a good practice for doing it that way. We have a border here, which has a render transform. It has a rotate transform. So you have three kinds of objects. We have the rotate, scale, and translation transform. And here we are just taking that object and putting the angle dependent on what we have here in our event. You are simply getting the rotation value and putting it in the angle. But I also found that you really need to experiment with the elements and with the transformations. But thankfully, normally we don't have to really write all that stuff if we can focus on the default gestures and manipulations. We can reuse them and then we don't need to write all that custom code. But if you want to do some custom stuff, you will have to do that. Then there is inertia. So what is that? It's simply the first law of Newton. So that there is, in real life, there is friction and things like that. So, and you also want that behavior inside your application. And inertia is also part of the manipulation API. So it's really a matter of catching these events. So normally I have also a demo of that. I think I have two of them. Going to see. Well, we relaunch them both. We will see what we get. Okay. So this is simply a group of pictures. And you will see here, if I drag here the picture, I can, you will see that it has inertia.
Yes, you load the pictures from my pictures or something like that.
Yeah.
Pictures dynamically.
Yeah, it's random.
How do you know which one is on top?
No, you don't know, I think.
if you put your finger on the picture with the penguins, there are no events going to the koala or the flower.
No. All these pictures has its own events, or it has its own. Because I think here in this sample, you see, I can also manipulate it. So I will show you. So this is all done with the manipulation API, also with the inertia. Yeah, and this is not so difficult. It's not a lot of code. So if you look here, so what we have is simply a canvas. Yeah. So it's a canvas where we put our pictures, and we have the starting, the delta, and the inertia starting event. Yeah? And then here, wait, I will put it in full screen. So I think this code is simply loading my pictures here from the sample pictures in my Windows folder. And this is simply added to my canvas. Yeah? All these pictures. And you see here what is really important is, so each image has its manipulation enabled equal to true. Yeah? So that's nothing fancy in here. It's simply making images and putting the its manipulation enabled to true and putting it as children to your canvas. That's this code. Then next code. The starting one is also simple because we are not doing something special. So the only thing what we are doing here is telling to the manipulation starting event, well, my container where we work in is simply this window, so that it is constrained in this window. Yeah? So that's the container. So a manipulation container equal to this. No, that's simply saying that. Otherwise, maybe you could, out of your application, do some gestures, but you want to have it that all your events are done inside the canvas. It's a capture. Yeah. And then here in the manipulation delta, what are we doing? You get the original element, so we get here an image. Yeah. We take the render transform out of it. And you know, in the previous example, it was explicit in XAML, but now we are just getting it, yeah, because we dynamically generated the images. And what we simply do is we have here transform. So the render transform is something of the type matrix transform. Yeah? And we are simply doing a transformation with the coordinates that we are getting from the manipulation delta event. So all this I could do with the picture what I want. Eh? I could do a scale, I could do a rotate, I could do a translation, and it's all done by these three lines. It's simply because you are getting the right values about scaling, rotation, and translation, and you are just transforming it on the render transform of your image. So this code is the only code that you need for having this behavior. This scaling, rotating, and things like that. Because of the manipulation API, yeah? Or with two fingers, of course. So that fault me. Yeah? then here we have the manipulation inertia starting. And here we can give some some value that denotes an acceleration or deceleration. So it's given with a velocity that you drag your object, and there you can give your deceleration. Yeah. So if you give it a lower value, then it will accelerate more or less. So normally that's the only thing, but here is some extra code, apply bounds, that does some checking on the boundaries and maybe doing some bounds on a rectangle or one of the sides of the rectangle. So normally if you go to the application, where is my application? Here. Wait, maybe. You see that it comes back when it comes to the border of the canvas. So if you, that it goes back, because normally if you simply would put this in comment, checkbox, then it will simply go out of the canvas, I think. Over here, up, and it's gone. So these are also things that you need to think about. But so this was simply a sample that does some. No. This is more code than you would need. That simply that it doesn't go further than the top of your canvas. This is was really having to have the behavior that it bounced back from the. So this is really some custom code. So check bounds and apply bounds. So here's the check bounds. I'm doing some calculations, and here the apply bounds. See? But this is really some extra stuff that you can do. Going to see what this sample is. I think this one is less complicated. Here it's also the same. I have here, instead of an image, a rectangle. I can scale, I can rotate, but here I also have some inertia. But here I also don't have any boundary checking. But here it's also done with the desired deceleration. That's simply a value that you can give. Yeah. Okay. Now, we are now going to some scenarios, and then you must say whether it is something for the raw touch API or for the manipulation API. So remember, raw touch is simply X and Y coordinates, whether you have put your fingers on. And the manipulation API gives you information about the rotation, the scale, and the translation. So for example, if you would create an application like that with the water, that you can mouse over the water and something, what would you use here? The raw touch API or the manipulation API? No, it's also, of course, it's like the water that you can, with all your fingers and what would you use, the raw touch of the manipulation? Indeed, the raw touch. Why? Because you have to identify each finger individually, and it's simply a matter of getting the points and dependent on that, having some effects on your textures or your graphics. Yeah? So for implementing that, you would use the RoadTouch API. Yeah?
And then the manipulation is more if you manipulate an entire object.
Yeah, indeed. So for example, this one. Scenario, if you want to know how many fingers are touching a UI element. Row. That's indeed also row. So simply because it gives you individual, because I don't think I have said that, but that's really important. It's in the manipulation API. It really gives you, if you have 10 fingers and you do something, the manipulation API gives you an average of all these coordinates to you. Yeah? So if you have one finger or 10 fingers, it will give you always this manipulation delta. So you don't know anymore how many fingers or things like that. So for this one, it's also the RoadTouch API. That's another one. For example, like you also see on the surface, is if you want to visualize things when you are touching so that you have feedback, what would you use for that? Row. That's indeed also row. The same reason practically is because it gives you the position, the size, and also the number of fingers, i.e. individual touches. So that's also row. Say, for example, you want to create a paint application, you know, paint, multi-touch dot, multi-paint, multi-touch paint dot net. What would you use here? Roar? Why? Mm-hmm. Indeed. So indeed, here it's really important. Indeed, the thickness, and also the number of fingers, and so on. So you see, you maybe beforehand you think, well, RoadTouch API, it's too clumsy, it's not an abstraction level. But in most of the cases, it can help you. This one. So if you want to pan, rotate, or scale a UI element, that's indeed a manipulation API. Like we have seen. Otherwise, you have to do all these calculations yourself. Yeah, that's a little bit similar. So that's also the manipulation API. Yeah, for example, if you want to recognize a gesture based upon velocity threshold, what would you use there? No, you have to choose between RoadTouch or manipulation. Because gesture, you don't have it in it's more derived from maybe RoadTouch, Row manipulation APIs together, or maybe manipulation. Because we don't even have gesture events in VPF or something. Manipulation? Well, indeed. Why? Because here in the we have all these transformations that we have here the velocity information, whereas in a RoadTouch API we don't have that. Yeah. So here, if we would like to create a gesture that is derived from a velocity, or then we would use the manipulation API. This one. You're a good student, Claude. Indeed, it's a little bit the same as the tap and double tap. That's also something to do with timing. So that's already something we do with the RoadTouch API. And counting the individual fingers, yeah, that's that we can do with the RoadTouch API. And this one. simply because we have that information directly from the manipulation API. So so we don't have to,
the inertia, does it then still generate moves based on the deceleration, or is it something completely different?
Well, it's wait, I will show that. Oops. Okay. Here. So here your movements stop when you release your fingers, and after that these events are triggered, but then you don't have any control anymore. You can always, in every part of the events, already stop your events so that the other events are not triggered anymore, and so that you don't have the bubbling effect. But it's in here places, lifts multiple fingers, so if every finger is lift, then the inertia phase comes out. Yeah, indeed. And it's the same event as this one. And it's simply with the property is inertia that you know whether you are in this phase or in the other phase. That's already one that we had. My number is not correct here, I think. From 9 to 8. Simulate inertia and friction. Yeah, that's also manipulation. And 10. Well, here, well, they are guiding us that we would use both, in the sense of that here the road touch gives you the amount of fingers, yeah, and with the manipulation API you can track, yeah, you can have the translation coordinates, yeah. So it's not necessary one of the other. You can use both, but. That's indeed another problem. I think we are probably first the road touch.
With raw, you would set some variable to be sure if it's touched with enough fingers. With manipulation, you actually remove.
Yeah. Because we have, but it's not that, how do I say, with the road touch API, in the first event, touchdown, it's only in the first event that you need to count the fingers. And with the manipulation API, there you can have the translation behavior, but we don't have analog, a road touch API, a road touch event that will take what in the weg zullen staan. How moet ik het zeggen? Yeah. Wacht, ik wil het nog beter uitleggen. Zeg. komt erop neer van als je events hebt, de road touch, de event, de touch move, ja, dat die niet in de weg gaat staan voor de manipulation delta, omdat je de touch move toch niet gaat opnemen, omdat je toch maar de touchdown nodig hebt om maar die aantal vingers te tellen eigenlijk. Ik moet ook nog zelf eens proberen of dat allemaal zo werkt, maar allee, daar ga ik wel vanuit of zo zou ik het doen. Oké. Okay. Are there any questions about the WPF? So this is really what you get only, or for multi-touch APIs in WPF. So two kinds of events. That's road touch and manipulation events.
Is it to be expected?
Well, you have it already with the extra libraries on Cortex. You can write it your own, but I won't do that. You can find it on Cortex, but I hope so too, that because you will see there is a difference in the WPF side, there is a difference in Silverlight, there is a difference in the Windows Phone Silverlight about catching events and touch APIs. So that's really annoying, because you will see in Silverlight you practically have nothing, but the Silverlight part of Phone 7, we get everything. We get even a gesture listener that we have already predefined gestures that we can simply hook up. Yeah. But we don't have it in... So I hope that it will emerge to one API, but... No, I don't think so. What it uses, the Silverlight part of Windows Phone 7, is the XNA framework. So there were already trying some people of the community to simply port the code of the Windows Phone 7 Silverlight to the Silverlight version, but there were too many specialities in the Windows Phone 7 or APIs that doesn't exist even in the desktop Silverlight. No. But there are also solutions for that. But when I investigated the touch APIs, I was also a bit... verontwaardigd. How do you say that in English? That it was not uniform. So it's really fragmented. You have a lot of libraries here and there, and So there was one guide for Silverlight development. And are there other interests in Silverlight multi-touch? Or simply to know also, or for you it was more for WPF, or was it also for Windows Phone 7? That's really simple in Silverlight. There is simply one event. It's even a static class. And let's simply call it touch. And it has an event frame reported. And there you can, of course, subscribe to that event. But simply this gives all the events of your Silverlight application. Thus, you must take care for yourself for hit testing and things like that, and that it hits your button and so on. So it gives you simply all the coordinates, and that's it. So if you subscribe to that event, again here, you have a property touch points, touch point collection, that also gives analog as in WPF the number of touches. So if I have two fingers, then I will get two touch points. And dependent on that, I can subscribe. I can know in which action I'm on. Is it down, move, or up? And you will see it's a little bit similar with the events that we had in WPF. We had also touch down, touch move, and touch up. And so it's a little bit the same as this. So you will see the frameworks on Cortex. Then they will do the translation for you, so that the code is generic for WPF and Silverlight, because you can also hook up in these events then. Instead of having directly the event touchdown, you have to do it that way. So, Silverlight here. Frame reported. What we have here, we have two tick boxes. Now we will see what the application is doing. That's a simple one. Yeah, we'll show the code, otherwise it's meaningless. So what we are showing is simply two text boxes, yeah? And simply to show you what is happening, we are subscribing to the frame reported event. And here, what we are doing, we are iterating to the number of points. We are simply, you see, in the text box, writing some information, like the position, the action, and things like that, just to have some notion about what is happening. Yeah, but like you see here, we are just limited here because of the code here, because it's written like that, that we only have, we will only investigate two touches. Yeah? So if we launch the code, FF, yeah. Oh, this will here. So if I will move here, but it doesn't care everywhere, you will see it will simply generate coordinates. Yeah. So if you look here, the first event, the first action was down, and after that it was move. And then you get XY coordinates. Yeah. If I do it concurrently with two fingers, then you will simply see that the two text boxes are filled. So that these events are fired for all your fingers. And that you will see here is the second finger that has been triggered with the down action, then also move, and here also. You see here? Here I upped my finger, and here down again. But again, this is the same thing as in VPF. Eh? So if you would use the RoadTouch API, you would get the same XY coordinates. Eh? So you can make some generic stuff, but the part is that only in Silverlight you have only the RoadTouch API. And here the frame reported, I think this one is a little bit more excited. It's a little bit the same. So here I can take the rectangle, I can take the other one, and I can drag them. You see? So how is this implemented? So here, you see here, it's the same technique. Eh? It's still VPF. Eh? This, so here we have two rectangles, again with a render transform. Yeah, and again, this render transform, we will transform it through our events. So if you take a look, so here the two rectangles, if you take a look at the code behind, what's more important is, you see the transform object that you get from your rectangle, you take it again, and you will transform it with your translations that you get from your API, from your event. Yeah. So this code is practically portable also in a VPF application. Okay, but now, something that you really need to know. If you go to Bing, of course, and you will see that you have, this link here is really important if you want to go further in Silverlight. There is some sample on the MSDN site, and that's called the Microsoft Surface Manipulations and Inertia Sample for Microsoft. Yeah? And in there is some samples, but more important, there is also a library called system windows input dot manipulations dot DLL. So they made it more like a sample. So they provided the DLL so that you can even in Silverlight have manipulations. Oops. Yeah. Inside that DLL, we have things like the manipulation processor and the inertia processor. So again, you can do it. You can then do everything what you can do in WPF, or in Silverlight, but it's not, I don't know, officially. It's not built in. So you have to go to the sample site, a sample download, and you will see that the CodePlex libraries all reuse this DLL. Because, yeah, it's complicated, probably. They will all refer to that DLL, because this gives you then also manipulations inside Silverlight. So, manipulation sample, I think. Set the startup. So like you see here, at the Silverlight part, I have here reference to system windows.input manipulations, and that's part of that sample. So let me do F5. So here, even in Silverlight, I have scaling, rotation, whatever you want. Also, this one. You see? And that's because of that library. But you already see if you want to have something uniform, then you will already encounter that you need, yeah, a library that does that for you. You can write it your own, but I mean, there are already libraries that do that for you. Here I just put on some Silverlight libraries that you can use. We have simply touch.codeplex.com, we have multitouch.codeplex.com and lighttouch.codeplex.com. Be aware that these libraries are not specific to Silverlight. These are also libraries that you can use, okay, most of them in WPF. Yeah. So, and there you have, then you simply have to go to the documentation of CodePlex of these projects to see how do I catch, for example, on double tap or things like that. Okay, be aware that sometimes this library contains four gestures, the other ones, the other libraries, the other gestures. So there is no library that has it all or that is powerful of all the others. So you have to see a little bit your requirements. And I've already seen some project, probably that I've seen open source project that you can use a combination also. So it's not a constraint. For example, the multi-touch CodePlex, I have a little bit worked with that, and that was nice in the sense that it is very important that it is compatible with Silverlight 4, WPF 4, and Windows Phone 7. Yeah? So you have one uniform model for doing manipulations and road touch events. And for example, that's one written in with the multi-touch library. And that's also done through behaviors, so that's something standard in WPF. So here, for example, that's a Silverlight application. So I can, here you have even the extra feature that you have some feedback about your touches. And you see on the screen. Do you see it from there? Yeah. For example, this one is not draggable, but it is because it is done through behaviors, you can do it dynamically. So for example, I can simply click here on attach behavior, and now this becomes also draggable. And I can also scale, rotate, and things like that. I can detach. Well, it's you have to look at in Blend. There you have a library, systemwindows.interactivity, and there you have let's call it behaviors. And there you can wait. I will show you the code otherwise.
If you don't use Blend.
No, no, but you can use it also without Blend. But it's simply a DLL that is provided by Blend, but it is also useful for developers. For example, like if you use the model view model pattern, yeah, maybe not everything is in a command. Yeah? Maybe you have some events. Well, for example, there is a trigger or a behavior that says translate my event to a command, and so it has a lot of common functionality that you can use out of the box. Wait, I will show you. Wait, of heb ik, had ik daar geen slides van gemaakt? Echt. Ah, voilà. I had prepared some slides about behaviors. So I knew that it was coming. Well, a good thing about behaviors is that it really enables you to separate your code, to have it more in a modular way. So you can really say to a UI element, attach some behavior, and behavior can be anything what you want. You can see it as a kind of decorator pattern, so that you can attach as a dynamically extra behavior to UI element. But I think I have some code samples. For example, here, if you want to attach an extra behavior to a button, then you would simply inherit from behavior given the UI element where you want to add extra behavior on it. And for example, here, if it is attached, your behavior, you simply have two overrides, unattached and undetaching. And for example, here it's a simple one, of course, but here you are attaching the click object of your button, and here are detaching again. And if it is clicked, then you have... And so this way you can really create some generic code or reusable code that you can apply to all these UI elements. That's why these UI libraries use a lot of this kind of behavior. Because you have behavior, but you have also trigger base. So for example, if on a mouse left button, that it is based on a trigger that you do something. You have trigger base and you have also trigger action, so that you really have an override, invoke, and then you do something. So you can give here some properties and then do something about your action. Wait, I will go to the code here. Voila, here. So you see here how simple it is now using that. Oops, sorry. Full screen. So this code would be the same as in WPF. Eh? Now it's in Silverlight, but it's the same. So we have here an image. And then again with the interactivity, which is part of the System Windows Interactivity Assembly. Yeah. You really say, attach me an extra behavior to the element image, and this one is provided by the CodePlex library that we have downloaded, multitouch.codeplex.com, and they provided some booleans. Can this element be rotated? Can it be pivoted? Can it be scaled? And things like that. So this way it is really transparent. And so you see here, otherwise we had to, all that plumbing code that we had to do, catching the manipulation event and things like that, you can make an abstraction higher and do it, for example, this way. Yeah. But of course there are already libraries, so I would suggest to simply reuse it and not making it yourself. Oh, yeah, you can make it yourself, you can see to the source code, but yeah. Or if you really have the need for something really custom, yeah, then you have to do it your own. But I would really suggest take a look at the several libraries, try out yourself where you find it comfortable with and that it obeys to your requirements. I cannot say that that library is the one or the perfect. They have all these specific things or implementations. Because you will see here, if we go to source code, you will see, for example, I hope so, that here references. Normally, I'm looking for the System Windows Input Manipulations DLL. Normally, it should be somewhere referenced here. Maybe it's in the setup. But normally you would see that it has some dependency to that. Maybe it's inside here. Well, I have the impression that this library has created his own you see here, manipulation library. But the other ones, I think, for example, you had the touch codeplex. So that's also, you see here, they also implemented some gestures. Like the two-finger double tap, three-finger pen grasp, things like that. I think this one used the System Windows. But I also suggest is to see how many times it is, has been updated, or is there really a community around it? Ah, voilà. You see here? So you have to explicitly download the System Windows Input Manipulations DLL, so from that sample site here. You have to download it, so they even may not redistribute the DLL. So that's maybe the reason why it isn't here also.